by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Great Christmas song, man. Good choice. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Friday Night. Cairo Nights with Spike O'Neill, Matt Butler. How are you guys?
I am good. I'm wondering now if I should remix that intro for the holidays.
We could do something fun. Yeah, we could do something fun.
We'll look into that over the weekend.
I love me some Elvis. That's why I love how you start the show with that. It's a nice, it gets me going right out of the gate. I want to just get up and run and yell at people. It's a wonderful way to start the show. Yeah, but it's the holiday season, brother. Maybe we should find something. You know, first off, if you're watching online, how do people access the video stream of this show?
You go to mynorthwest.com. When you click the live stream link on the top portion of the page, you can choose an audio or a video stream. Click the video stream and see something amazing.
The studio, yeah. Elves had a little bit of a throw up in here. No, I mean, sorry. They threw up some decorations. That's what I meant to say. It's rather festive in here, if I do say so myself. I don't know if you can even see me on the camera because they have reindeer blocking the video screen and some snow has fallen. And, oh, the weather inside is 71 degrees and comfortable. It's kind of nice in here. Did you have a nice day?
I did. It was a uneventful but good day.
That's uneventful these days? Woo!
I have a clean kitchen. My life is exciting.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Good for you. I made some holiday treats today. Our youngest child was over the house, and my kid started school this year and has a 4-day school week. All of her classes in her first semester of her freshman year, their freshman year, I'm working so hard at this, have a Monday through Thursday schedule. Full schedule, full load of classes, but Monday through Thursday. And I warned them. I said, you know, don't get used to this because, you know, I know the freshman year of college is always an adjustment period and a difficult time for a lot of first-year college students. It was for me, you know, trying to learn my alcohol tolerances and all the things that I did in college.
Hardest test of the year.
Took me 3 months to find out where all my classes actually were. You know, no, I'm kidding.
Well, when you drink that much, navigation becomes a challenge.
I'm lucky. I didn't raise a drinker, my younger one. I'm really lucky there, you know. And I know that, you know, they have imbibed and experimented a little bit with, but that's to be expected. They're 18 now. Not that that's legal. At all, as
you're,
I think
you're
about
doing them. A really good job here of extricating yourself from this ethical problem.
You know, a parent who has a kid who waits until they're 21 before they try alcohol is a parent in denial. First off, and you know, we don't condone, we don't give permission, we don't abate.
The theory is that in some countries where parents do, you know, let their teenagers have, say, a beer at a holiday celebration or something, is that actually that reduces their curiosity and the binge drinking that happens when they go to college.
Yeah, true. You know, I know guys who got caught smoking cigarettes as you know, teens, if not kids, when I was growing up. And I don't know if this is still a common practice, but their dad made them. I never got into a cigarette ever. I'm so lucky in that regard. Knock a little wood here at the Cairo Studios. I know kids who started smoking and they were forced to smoke an entire pack by their dad. I mean, to the point of physical illness, and that curbed them off the habit for life. That aversion therapy thing. Anyway, my kid came over for the Friday because they were off school 4-day school week, as I said, and we made some the Chex party mix Christmas stuff. Some of the Muddy Buddies, I think they call it the chocolate version of the Chex party mix. So it was a nice festive, getting in the holiday spirit, cooking a little snackins at the house today at my place, which is really nice. You know, we asked, we lost Christy McVie earlier in the week, and we're wondering if there was ever a Christmas song by Fleetwood Mac. And a texter pointed out that Stevie Nicks did a Christmas song. They did Stevie Nicks did a Silent Night on the very first very special Christmas, the Rock and Roll Christmas album. But that's not That's not Christine McVie. So we're not going to. I mean, that's. Let's think about what else we could open the show with. You know, we've got a lot of these Bob Rivers songs we can play too, but that's not show openers. That's just kind of music, you know. And I like the Elvis. You don't have to pump. You don't have to mess with that too much. I love the Elvis Costello. Oh, trying to get into my mood here, buddy. Trying to find what to talk about tonight.
Somebody suggested Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC as the holiday opener.
You know, that also gets you up and running.
It would do it for me.
That's a pretty good idea.
Think of how many chances it would give you to remember who the artist was.
Well, hey, come on, man.
I had to.
A texter asks, you mentioned that women's underwear might be appropriate for today's ears and got me thinking. What songs did I grow up with that would not get played today? You know? And there are quite a few things. Oh, yeah, oh my gosh. Running Bear Loves Little White Dove. Remember that song by Johnny Preston?
Oh, yeah.
It had that run and boom, 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 boom.
They
boom,
still
boom.
Play that on oldies stations.
I'm sure they do. And they should. You know, that's funny. That's a great question is, you know, is something racist or inappropriate even because it has ethnic overtones or antiquated stereotypes in a kind of derogatory fashion, you know? Just because it mentions, you know, Native American culture and borrows from a Native American-esque theme, is it inappropriate for today's ears? Have we become that? That's where woke, I think, is, you know, over woke, right? I don't mind the tips to the past.
Okay, so how did you feel about the controversy? This one stirs up every few years, but how did you feel about Baby, It's Cold Outside?
The rape song?
Remember when that was a big controversy?
No, I know, yeah. Say, what's in this drink? I mean, you know, yeah, Dean Martin flipped your roofie in the song. Right there. Come on. I hated that. That was an overreaction in my opinion, an overreaction. And there were stations that took it off their playlist, their Christmas playlist.
Yeah, there were some. Yeah.
I think that's, we're looking for things to be mad at that point. You know, we're looking for reasons to be angry. But how many things these days are we looking for reasons to be angry, right? Yeah, and I'm guilty of it too.
I think though it gets hyped, and the problem I have with the left doing some of that, and it's not most of the left, it's usually somebody on a Twitter account that takes offense at something, pulls it out and says, hey, here's something that I'm really offended by and should be banned, whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is it gives your opponents, your ideological others, ammo to criticize you while not actually addressing real life problems.
Right. There's enough real life knucklehead, you know, there's enough real life oppression. There's enough real life discrimination and real life, God forbid, real sexual harassment that we got to, you know, focus on the knucklehead stuff. So yeah, if you could play Dean Martin's version and maybe cue it right to that line. And we talked the other day about how, what versions of songs of Christmas classics are your favorite and which ones. I told you my daughter and I have a Christmas playlist on Spotify that they put together, and you know, we were only allowed one version of each song on this Christmas playlist. And for me, Hey Baby, It's Cold Outside, which I will never pull for wokeness, because I don't find the song inappropriate.
Beautiful, please don't hurry. Put some records on while I pour. Baby, it's bad out there. No cabs to be had out there. Your eyes are like starlight now. I'll take your hat, your hair looks swell. Mind if I move in closer? What's the sense of hurting my pride? Baby, don't
I love it, buddy.
Baby, it's cold outside.
It's funny. I love that version, and I'm not so woke that I can't appreciate, hey, what's in this drink is not Dean Martin slipping her roofie.
And see, I always took that song from the female lines in the song that she was wanting to stay, but she was concerned about her reputation. So she's saying, you know, what are people going to say? That's right. The later verse. My sister will be suspicious. My brother will be at the door.
Right, right.
So I got the impression that this was, you know, the nice girl. She wanted to stay there with Dino.
Right, and he's laying it on hard, man. He's Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, you know, up in the room. Although whenever I hear that song now, I have to think, I can't help but think of Zooey Deschanel in the shower and Will Ferrell's Elf, Buddy the Elf, in the ladies' locker room singing along to her singing in the shower. You know, that is just the greatest. Oh, is Elf an all-time classic Christmas movie in your opinion?
I would say so.
Yeah. There's a show on. It was made, I think it was a Netflix show. You know, the films that made us, I think it's called, and it's about how films got made. Various films got made, and everything from Back to the Future, and I forget what else is on there. Maybe Toy Story, or I have to look it up. But Elf is one of them, and it's the story of how these movies fought their way through the Hollywood process of getting, you know, getting written, getting bought, getting financed, getting cast, getting made. And Elf is an amazing story because it's Jon Favreau, who is, Jon Favreau is amazing. If you don't know who Jon Favreau is, I'm sure you all do, you'd recognize the actor's face if you saw him. But he is also behind the camera whiz, he's a producer. And I don't know if he's directed or not. He may have. I'd be surprised if he hasn't, but I know he's a producer. But he produced Elf. He also produced the Star Wars series, The Mandalorian. And he is, of course, in the Marvel Universe. I think he's from a production sense, as well as an actor. He plays Happy, which is Iron Man Tony Stark's Man Friday, if you will, personal assistant in those film series. But Favreau is just amazing. And he got to start with Vince Vaughn back in his early acting career days, I should say. That was some of his first acting success. Sidebar, he's got a movie called Chef, where he plays a very famous chef who has a very social media promoted meltdown in a restaurant and takes to building a food truck and touring the country in a food truck. And it's a fantastic movie. Absolutely. Takes his son. He's in divorce. Takes his son along with him and his kitchen sidekick played by John Leguizamo. It's called Chef. I highly recommend it. Great way to spend a couple hours of your day. So Favreau is going to make Elf, and he wants to make a Christmas movie that is like timeless. Doesn't want to just make a comedy. He takes the timelessness elements of all the great Christmas movies that have withstood generation after generation after generation and wants to make sure the story of Elf is told in that same regard, even with a nod to the claymation animation tactics of the Rankin and Bass cartoons of my youth, your parents' youth, Matt, you know, from the 60s and 70s. You know, the Rudolphs, the Santa Claus is Coming to Town, The Year Without a Santa Claus, those movies. It was funny, my youngest kid was talking to me the other night about it, and they asked, so can you imagine what kids did before those? I said, well, you know, my kid says, how old were you when those came out? Were you the right age? I was the perfect age. I think I was 5 or 6 when Rudolph came out, and I'm not sure how those movies were released. What sequence or what, you know, within a span of maybe 8-10 years, all those stop motion animation movies all came out. But they came out, you know, on TV once a year. And those were the days when, you know, it wasn't on more than once. And if you missed it, you missed it. And there wasn't the mechanism to record something. We couldn't even have put in a VHS tape and recorded something on beta. Way back then, that was pre all that technology. So it was an event. I remember as a little kid being at my grandfather's house with my cousins because grandpa had the color TV in the family, you know, and we would all literally sit around on the floor in my grandparents' living room watching those Christmas movies played once a year with commercial interruptions, the Norelco Santa Claus running through the snow hills on the electric razor, sledding around, you know, those kind of Christmas commercials. Those were part of my youth as a kid. And Elf, I think, has reached that level of constant Christmas, got to have it. Christmas canon, that's canon, right? When something is kind of a standard for a genre or part of a storyline, that a story can't be told without that element. It's part of a canon. I think if I have the definition correct. And Elf has definitely reached that. Yeah, a texter points out Favreau directed both Elf and Iron Man. Okay, so not just a producer, a director, a star, a writer. John Favreau. I hope I heard somebody say he was in the hospital. I wanted to wish him well. He threw his back out carrying the entire Star Wars franchise on his back by himself. We get to do this 5 nights a week, buddy. This is the greatest gig on the face of the earth. I'd rather be this. I'd rather this than work for Santa Claus. I really would. This is a better gig than Elf, being an actual Elf. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler, the Soul Man. You need a theme song too, by the way. You need your own. It's you. It's, you know, the identifiable. Your walk-in music or your walk-to-the-plate music in baseball.
One of my 9-minute Sisters of Mercy churches, perhaps.
It's Cairo Nights. It's Friday. Cairo Friday Nights. We'll be right back after these.
This is the Zoe Deschanel.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh.
She is, along with folk singer M. Ward, it's a project called She and Him.
Oh, yeah.
That's from their Christmas album.
I'm familiar with She and Him. I didn't know they did a Christmas album. That's nice. This, of course, Little Saint Nick is a Beach Boys classic Christmas song. An original. One of the few original Christmas songs. I mean, you know, from the 60s. Ugh. There's not a lot of great modern original Christmas songs.
Boy, have I got an album for you.
I was hoping, and you got it later for tonight, right? Good. We've been talking about Christmas music because we're talking about Christmas. We're talking about a lot of things Christmas. We'll talk about everything from travel Christmas, shopping Christmas, tradition Christmas music, whatever it is. Tis the season. I mean, look at the studio. Go to mynorthwest.com. Click on the Cairo Nights badge there, and boy, you can watch. You can watch us sit here and look at screens, which is riveting, but you can see how wonderful the studio is decorated for Christmas. It's really nice. I didn't recognize Zoe Deschanel. Very nice. Very nice. Great voice, by the way. She really does. One of those performers that could have done a lot of things, anything they wanted to, really. And I mentioned to you that Funny or Die clip.
Yeah.
We should try to squeeze that in sometime, too. Because we all know the one of the classic Little Drummer Boy versions was done by Bing Crosby and David Bowie. The Peace on Earth and Little Drummer Boy kind of mashup. There's a piece by the comedy channel, I guess, right? Funny or Die, which is Will Ferrell's and many other brilliant artists. Comedy Network. And if you do find that thing, if you go in about 2:25 or so, it's where they start the singing portion. But Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly recreated the Bing Crosby, David Bowie classic video of this classic Christmas song.
Come, they told me, pa-rum-pum-pum, our newborn king to see, pa-rum-pum-pum. The finest gifts we bring, pa rum pa pum pum, rum pa pum pum, rum pa pum pum. peace on earth. Can it be?
This is Will Ferrell.
Years from now, perhaps we'll see.
And John C. Reilly.
See the day of glory. See the day when men of goodwill live in peace again. So peace on earth.
But the audio doesn't do it justice because they're literally, they've recreated the set from the classic David Bowie, Bing Crosby video.
Exactly like.
And John C. Reilly has a hairpiece on to look like Bing Crosby. And that is, I look back at the original video. He's wearing the exact same blue Slazenger sweater John C. Reilly is doing the Bing Crosby part of this video. And they play it straight. They're doing a serious acting recreation of this video for Funny or Die. And to see Will Ferrell in a little brown wig and so much stage makeup to try to look like David Bowie, it is world class. I don't even want to say comedy. It's a world class tribute to a wonderful piece of Christmas work. Just absolute magic, man. This time of year, it's hard to stay in a bad mood. Despite them trying to put us in bad moods nonstop, it seems. The stuff we have to put up with in the news every day, from elected leaders, from celebrities, celebrity wannabes. The things you watch in the news reports you see from, I don't care what channel you watch anymore either. They're just, you know, chock full of trying to put us in bad moods. Get us angry at each other. You know, get us angry at the system, get us angry at whatever it is.
Here's the thing. They wouldn't do that if people didn't watch.
No. Dude, right on. If we had the strength, the mental strength to tune out, you're right. But the problem is we kind of need to know what's going on. You know, they don't have to do it so meanly. They don't have to do it so inflammatory. By nature, all the news we get is just so inflammatory because that's what gets eyeballs. That's what gets clicks. That's what gets us to keep coming back. We've talked about this so many times. It's so easy for us to respond to being scared or angry. You know, those are the most easy emotions to incite and the most deeply felt. Part of our survival mechanism, the millennia-old makeup of a human psyche, is to survive. So they get us mad. And all they really need to do is tell us what's going on and let us get back to having fun and loving each other. Maybe wrapping a few presents. By the way, wrapping Christmas presents is the evil cousin of folding laundry. I don't know how people do it. I don't. My wife is a machine at wrapping presents. And I think one of the reasons that she resents Christmas so much is because she's a machine wrapping presents. And I have let her do it all when it comes and every holiday season. And I'm not good at it. Which is funny because I can fold laundry like a bandit. I've got some weird geometrically driven gene that lets me fold laundry. I can fold a fitted sheet. I mean, fold a fitted sheet square. I can do it. I got that skill. Not just a flat sheet, but a fitted sheet. Right? I mean, I can rip through days worth of laundry and fold them up like they were sent to a service and brought back to you wrapped in brown paper. But wrap a Christmas present? I need at least two rolls of duct tape for every, not, I mean, scotch tape for every present.
Duct tape?
I know. No,
like, what are you trying to hold in that present?
I meant scotch tape, but I might as well be using duct tape as bad as I do it. You know, it's
really don't want someone to open it. That's like the prank gift.
You know, this will be our first Christmas without my father-in-law, but he took great pride in sealing presents. He would watch the grandkids, I mean, literally, fight their way through with teeth and nails and literally try to, he took great pride.
This was a blood sport for him.
It really was. It was, and that was his Christmas joy, was watching the grandchildren. And our family, all girls, we had all, you know, all granddaughters. He had all granddaughters. Watch them just try and fail. You know, we'd be borrowing pocket knives on Christmas morning to cut into Pop's presents. You know, and he just smiled ear to ear. He was the kind of guy that would put a brick inside a box, you know, so, oh, it's heavy, must be expensive, you know, whatever it was. He'd wrap a brick in a T-shirt, giving you the T-shirt for Christmas. He was that kind of guy, you know? Just absolutely magic. Love the time of year, man. Listen, by the way, we should tell you this time of year, it's time to see the Seahawks at Lumen Field. Coming up before the bottom of the hour, we'll tell you today's code word. And when we tell you, you can go to mynorthwest.com/win, log on there to the events and contests section, and enter to win tickets to see the Hawks take on the 49ers December 15th at Lumen Field. A pair of tickets can be yours. And that's coming up the bottom of the hour. We'll tell you the code word. Three winners today. Not qualifiers. Three winners today. You see the Hawks and Niners at Lumen Field on the 15th. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. And we've got lots of fun, bonding, unifying things to talk about. And we'll argue with you too if you like. I'm really happy to do that. If that's what makes you happy, you know, it's about joy. If your joy of the season is disagreeing with somebody, we'll play that game for you too.
Yeah, we're but here. If you get too far out of line, I'm breaking out the duct tape.
There you go. It's Cairo Nights. We'll be right back.
Hello, are you Bing Crosby?
Oh, son, unfortunately, old dear Bingo, he passed away some time ago. I'm just an incredibly charming simulation.
Oh, right. Hiding out like that Elvis fella. Don't worry, Bingo. Your secret's safe with me.
Let me get the door now.
Well, my name's Roach.
Roach?
Perhaps you've heard of my band, Vomit.
No, I don't believe I have.
Oh, do you like death metal music, then?
Oh, certainly. It's marvelous. Some of that contemporary stuff is really, really fine. But tell me, have you ever listened to any of us old fellas?
Oh, you mean like Ozzy and Judas Priest and stuff?
Oh, so you go back that far.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not as young as I look.
Really?
I'll let you in on a little secret, Bing. This ain't my real hair. Oh, it's fake.
Why, that's marvelous. It's amazing what they do with those synthetics these days.
You know, I got a whole closet for all this young stuff at home. I got plugs and extensions, collagen implants. I've even got a red and green mistletoe cob piece that I wear on stage at Christmas time.
How traditional. So I guess you and your boys, you go in for all the holiday stuff this time of year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big light shows, pyrotechnics, animal sacrifice.
You too, huh? I love slicing up the turkey and stringing up the lights and throwing a Yule log on the fire. I tell you, that's how you get that holiday spirit.
Right. Say, Bing, speaking of spirits, have you got anything around here besides some orange juice?
Oh, I catch your drift, Sergeant. Well, say we march over here to the corner and rustle up a little holiday cheer for you. Well, step right over this way, son. We'll investigate the libations on tap, as it were.
I believe I know the way, Bing.
Are you ready?
I'm born ready.
Allow me.
I'll pour ye some rum-ba-bum-bum. A drink with Bing will warm that tummy-tum-tum.
We're gonna get a little portland.
Excellent, Bing.
Our finest crystal clinks pa-rum-ba-bum-bum. Rum-ba-bum-bum. Watch out for the rug.
Oh, never mind. The dog's already stained it anyway.
Now be careful, son, that's 151.
Open the mouth and over the gums.
Don't drink so fast, that would be dummy-dum-dum.
Look out, liver, here it comes.
I poured a fifth for him, it's practically gone.
Is that all you got?
It was the finest blend of virgin dark rum. Rum is all done, rum is all gone.
Oh, that's a spot of bad news, Bing.
Easy now, Chester, my boy. That's pretty strong stuff. No Minute Maid in there. This is high octane we're talking about.
Bartender, be careful, son. That's 151. Don't drink so to fast. You, that would be double bump to bump. Me. A quart of fifth for him is practically gone. It was this finest blend of virgin dark rum.
I need a refill. Hit me, please. Hit me glass again.
peace on earth.
Hey, how about a steaming hot cup of black coffee?
I've got a peace.
No, and the obligatory urine joke. Thank you.
The cat out the bladder.
Thank you, Matt.
He got a peace.
Well, the handy mop's over there in the closet. You think you can handle that?
Thank you very much.
Hey, what was the name of that band of yours again? Oh, yeah, I remember.
Sorry about your shoes.
Sorry about your song. So, yeah. So clearly, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly did a much better and much more respectful version of the song than we did. It's Spike O'Neill, along with Matt Butler at Cairo Nights.
Awesome.
We'll post
voices, though. Those were great.
I can't remember the name of the guy who did Bing. We did a search. So that's Bob Rivers' Twisted Tune. I think it's a more Twisted Christmas album, that one was. We did a national search for a guy who could sing like Bing Crosby, and we found the gentleman, and I wish I could remember his name. I'll look it up. I'll call Bob. He'll remember. This guy flew into town to sing that song and do his Bing Crosby stuff. I threw the other crap together. He brought his own microphone, a classic, Telefunken vintage microphone. It's the same microphone that Bing sang into. I mean, the guy had a picture, an 8x10 of Bing in his briefcase with a microphone that he set up in the studio when he sang to inspire him to sound like Derbingle. It was eerie. But it was a wonderful, wonderful time to make stuff. It was a great memory. And we'll put the Funny or Die video of Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly doing their version of Little Drummer Boy up on the Cairo Nights Facebook page, because they sing it true, and they do a great job. I mean, Matt played it for you a little bit ago. Bing Crosby and David Bowie, as done by Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. And the fact that they are in full costume and playing it straight as they possibly can is just absolute Christmas magic. So it'll be up on the Cairo Nights Facebook page for you. Right now, I do want to tell you the code word of the day. I promised it, so you could win Seahawk tickets for the Hawks and Niners game on the 15th at Lumen Field. Two seats for you. Go to mynorthwest.com/win. Enter the word win. It's right there in the directions, people. The word today is win, the code word win. Enter that. Give us your information. We'll draw three winners tonight. Your entries have to be in by 11:59 tonight. We'll draw three winners tonight for tickets to see the Hawks and 49ers at Lumen Field. Your courtesy of Cairo News Radio, because we want you to see the Seahawks. It's that time of year, too. It's football time of year. Thanks for letting me play that, too. That was kind of you. It's embarrassing sometimes to listen back to some of the stuff we did in the 90s.
I think you should be proud of it.
Oh, that's kind of you.
That's some really good, some parody songs and some efforts, particularly by hack morning radio personalities in small markets, can be very cringe, as the kids these days say. But you have an awesome legacy.
Thanks.
You honor the songs. You put your own twist on it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and you're right about honoring the songs. That's all Bob. We'll play some for you as the month progresses. We had full orchestras come in to Bob's home studio, which he is married to his wife, Lisa, and he have been married for longer than they want me to tell you. But this wonderful woman allowed Bob to indulge every one of his idiosyncrasies and eccentricities in making song parodies. We did an All You Need Is Love parody called All You Need Are Elves. And we brought in the full Seattle Symphony, a large part of the Seattle Symphony Orchestra to do the tracking on this song. And we all got in Sgt. Pepper costumes made up to look like with elf ears. It's pretty weird. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. We'll be right back.